Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with heavenly spiritual blessings in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight and love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us that the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time we have reached with fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under the one head, even Christ.
I would like to thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm speaking in Paul's place. He is in up there in the Panhandle, in a town called Panhandle, Texas, starting a gospel meeting today. You know, you're not the same group I saw 20 years ago. 20 years has a way of changing things. I hope it's changed us for the better. I am grateful for the opportunity to have served this congregation, and you have been a better service to me than I have been to you. I'd like to thank you very much. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to open the book of the book of Ephesians. I have several readings, and we're sort of going to summarize some of the things that this book has to tell us this morning. When we were converted, we were changed. When a person is baptized, you see a person go up there, and he gets in the water, and he comes out, and he's wet. But there's a great deal of change worked that is worked by God on a spiritual side. When a person is converted, he dies with Christ in that baptism to the flesh. Now, the flesh is still alive, but it belongs to God now. And he has a new life that he lives in the spirit instead of the flesh, and it is lived by faith. It's good to be living in the spirit because you can see what's happening to the flesh. 20 years has a hard time on the flesh, doesn't it? But the Spirit of God, the spirit of man lives forever, and God wants us to live with him forever, so he moves our life from the flesh to the spirit. And he places us in a place that is secure, and it's that place that I want to talk about this morning. Would you bow with me, and let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in the lovely name of Jesus, our Savior. We lean upon his name because we know, Father, that there is a righteous requirement that you have that we cannot fulfill except in him. And so we come to you in his name, asking for your blessings that we might have insight, that you can bless our knowledge and our faith, that it will grow, and that we will stand on the faith that you've given us in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The theme of the book of Ephesians is a new life in Christ. And in Christ is the major point that we're making. I want to suggest four things that happens to us because we've been moved from the earth to be in Christ. There's some things about being in Christ that requires faith. And we'll be talking about that. But first of all, being in Christ denotes our position. Where Jesus is, we are. And that's hard because where is Jesus? At the right hand of the Father. Right now, Jesus is with us. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there with us. I don't see him, but I know by faith that he's with us. And it's just as possible for us to be with him in the heavenly place and here in these pews at the self same time. Because I believe that the church is not a physical place, but a spiritual place where we meet God together in Christ. Jesus is chosen, and we have been chosen with him. Our text reads, if you remember what was read, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to his purpose and his will. Being in Christ makes us acceptable. God doesn't see me, but he sees Christ because I'm in him. James says, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor before him in love to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? And so we have been chosen by God. You say, well, how did God choose me? Because I'm the one that chose him. Well, he created you, and when you chose him, he did it because he made you. And so the choice that you made is his choice for you. And Jesus is God. We sometimes forget that Jesus is a man, but he is also God. And so he fully understands the difference between us and God, and he is a great mediator for us. Being in Christ, we are in a very favored position. By faith, we are being transformed every day as we live in Christ. Actually, if we allowed Christ's will to be done in this body of believers, it would be utopia, wouldn't it? We would treat each other the way we should be treated. It would be a place of peace. It would be a place of righteousness. And it is by faith. Actually, the church is an outpost. Outpost in the desert of sin. It is an oasis where people come. Where Christian fathers become the kind of fathers that wives would like to have. Where Christian mothers are the kind of mothers that husbands are looking for. Where Christian children are the kind of children that mothers and fathers like that have. It is a place where grandfathers and grandmothers are a light shining in a dark place, because we are part of that place where Jesus lives in Christ. God blesses the world by blessing us in Christ. Our new position is also a heavenly position. We already talked about that a little bit. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Didn't hold any back, did he? We have every spiritual blessing in this position that we now dwell in. Paul says in the same chapter, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know. Know what, Paul? He says that you can know. By looking with faith instead of looking by sight. There are spiritual realities that are ours. If Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, we sit at the right hand of the Father. If Jesus sits in this auditorium, I guess it's no harder for him to sit in this auditorium and in heaven than it would be for us to sit in this auditorium and in heaven. It is a spiritual thing, spiritually discerned. I believe it, don't you? Don't ask me how our bodies can be in two places at once, but it can. Brethren, the church is us. It is a lot more than a physical place. It is a spiritual outpost. It is more than building with a kitchen or without a kitchen. It is where God's people dwell. It is a heavenly place. It's a group of chosen people who are dedicated for heaven. It is a spiritual place where you and I as individuals have our wants and our desires ruled by heaven, ruled by Christ, because he is our head. Because we dwell in a spiritual place where God's will is present and we respect that will. In Christ, we have a new position. It is a place in God's family. Not only is it a place where every spiritual blessing dwells, but it is also a place that is called God's children. Read in the book of Hebrews, when we are assembled together, there is assembling with us every saint that's ever lived. The angels in heaven have sang with dawn this morning. We have to know that by faith, don't we? But it's God's family. And being a part of God's family is extremely, extremely a great blessing. That means we belong. If you come to this auditorium before anyone gets here, you'll find pillows here and there. You ever notice that? Do you know what that denotes? That's somebody's place. I don't know about you, but I like having a place, don't you? I come from a big family. I remember when we sat down to dinner or any meal, Dad sat at the head of the table. My place was at Dad's right hand. Ted's place was next to me. Philip's place was next, three in a line. On the other end was Mom, high chair beside her, and one of the little kids there, and one of the middle kids on the other side of him. But every time I went to eat, there was a place for me. Brethren, there is a place for you and I. We're going to have a gospel meeting starting Sunday. Did you know that that is not the church's meeting? It's your meeting. Because you have a place in Christ, and we are in Christ. All right. More than that, being in Christ defines our privileges. Not only does it define our place, our position, but being in Christ defines our privileges. And I'm persuaded that most of us are in Christ, right? Our privilege in Christ is a fellowship of salvation. John says it this way: if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins in the very first chapter of John, verse 7. The most famous passage found in the Bible, it's found in Galatians chapter 8, verse 1, where he talks about everything that happens to us through Christ in chapters preceding chapter 8. But he begins chapter 8 with a therefore. And whenever you begin something with a therefore, it means in connection with what I've just said. He said, we are therefore now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'll let that soak in. You want me to say it to you again? There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'll say it again if you didn't get it. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You're free. It's called the perfect law of liberty. God protects you from condemnation because you've come to Jesus through faith. I don't know about you, I can't think of anything that's greater than the fellowship of salvation, can you? Our privilege is also a privilege of grace in Christ. Paul says in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I do not have the right to preach God's word. God gives me grace, doesn't he? I do not have the right to hear the gospel, but God's grace, I heard it. I do not have the right to respond to the invitation of Christ, but by God's grace, he gave it, and I had an opportunity to respond. Grace forgives us until we are fully conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Grace helps us till we get it right. And one of these days we'll get it right with God's help. It's that transforming power of God. Like a woolly worm goes into a cocoon and comes out a butterfly, we are being transformed to the image of Jesus Christ every day. It is a privilege to be in the fellowship of salvation. Our privilege in Christ is a spiritual fellowship with God. Now, this is hard, a little bit hard for it. It's not necessarily a physical fellowship, it's a spiritual fellowship, and we are physical beings. And so in order to us to launch out into the spiritual realm, we have to do it by faith, don't we? Because we dwell in Christ by grace, we dwell in God's redemption. Paul says in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the book of Ephesians, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guarantee in our inheritance into the redeeming of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." When we were baptized, God did that surgery on us and moved our life from the flesh to the spirit, but he didn't leave our spirits, our struggling spirits alive, but he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there is fellowship going on inside of you that you must accept by faith, because you won't taste it, feel it, or smell it. But there is a spiritual fellowship. You say, well, what benefit is if I can't recognize it? Knowing it is a great benefit. Knowing that, does God understand how you feel? Does God understand what you fear? Does God understand what you want more than anything else? Our spirit and God's spirit are communing with each other. That's the reason the Holy Spirit helps us when we pray. We may not even be able to put it in words, but the Spirit of God and the Spirit of us can communicate, and our desire. That's the reason you can't fool God. He knows what your heart is, isn't it? He knows what's in your heart. But that is a great privilege to have fellowship with God. What this means is that there is a spiritual interrelationship with God. Never think that no one understands. Our second daughter, she used to always say to Judy and I, "You just don't know." Yeah, God knows, doesn't he? God even feels what we feel. And he's involved in our everyday activities. In our text, Paul says, "In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us," in verse 7 and 8. It is a privilege to join with Christ in this gospel meeting we're starting on Sunday. A privilege. Our privilege in Christ is also every spiritual blessing. Remember that verse that was read to us? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." I like passages like this, don't you? If God has given us every spiritual blessing, which one is left off? None. A young missionary once wrote his mom and told him about all the problem he's having. He said, "What should I do?" And she wrote an answer back. It was Philippians 4:19. You know what Philippians 4:19 says? "And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus." There it is again, huh? Where do these blessings come? In Christ Jesus. They're ours. Let's move on to another major point. Being in Christ describes our possessions. Not only does it describe our position, not only does it describe our privileges, but it describes what we own now. What Jesus owns, we own. What Jesus have, we have. He says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened in Ephesians 1, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? This is the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. That he's worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also the age to come. And he put all these things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, to be head over everything for me and you. For us. Everything God has is yours. Through faith. But God has also given us the word of reconciliation. My dad was a poor man. He didn't have very much. And when he died, he had a little money and that's all. Not very much. Besides that, he had a whole house full of kids anyway. But I remember he had a few guns. He had an old Winchester. It had a weird... it was a very rare gun because it had a difficult... I think it was a 2540 or something like that. And I didn't get it. But Dad had an old 30-30. And he loved deer hunting more than anything. And I've seen many a deer shot with that 30-30. I wouldn't give anything for that old 30-30. You know what? Not because it's an old Savage lever-action gun, but because it belonged to my father. The Bible says of Jesus, when he came into the earth, he came into the earth to seek and to save the lost, right? We have been given, according to Paul, the word of reconciliation. And before God ascended into heaven, he gave us the great commission that you all know by heart. It's like he went to heaven and he said, "Here, take this and hold on to it until I get back." And what he wants is lost people to be saved, isn't it? He wants everyone to enjoy what you and I enjoy in Christ Jesus. Not only has he given us the word of reconciliation, but he has placed in the church where we reflect to the heavenly host, the manifold wisdom of God. I don't know about you, but I sometimes think when the Bible talks about the church being the reflection of God's wisdom, I think, whoo, I don't see that when I see the church. I see a bunch of people that I've known for a long time. But you know, the Bible does say, he sort of gets carried and say, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father," in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. "From whom the family in heaven on earth is named. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." The Bible says that the church reflects the manifold wisdom of God to the heavenly hosts. I can see a conversation going on in heaven that says, "You know that God is saving men now. these old dirty people. Another one says, yeah, and you know where he's putting them? He's putting them in Christ. And the other one says, but look at them. They're getting along together. They're loving one another. They're serving God's will. They're being changed. The church, those that are in Christ, declare the wisdom of God. I don't know about you. I want to be a part of that. But lastly, because we have a new life in Christ, we have a new practice. What Jesus does, we have to do too. Because we're in Christ, there are things we won't do anymore. We stop lying and start telling the truth. We stop tearing others down and start building others up. We stop hurting and start loving. We stop trying to please ourselves and start trying to please the needs of others around us. We stop serving ourselves and start living for others. Paul says we shouldn't walk like the rest of the world. We are God's children. Because in Christ we are going somewhere, we're on our way to heaven, we start doing things right instead of what got us in problem in the first place. We walk in holiness, Ephesians 4. We walk in love, Ephesians 5. We walk as the children of light, Ephesians 5. We walk in wisdom from above, also Ephesians 5. We walk in obedience, Ephesians 6. We walk as soldiers of the cross, Ephesians 6. And we walk in constant prayer, Ephesians 6, because we walk by faith. Brethren, there is a place on earth of great eternal glory. There you will be with Christ. Where he is, you will be. There you are granted great privilege. What he is, you will become. You have great possessions. What he has will be yours. Every spiritual blessing. There you will have a new purpose in life. What he does, you will begin to do. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us how to get there. In Galatians 3, verse 27, verse 26, he says, we're all the children of God, male, female, slave, free, Gentile, Jew. And then in verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This sermon asks one question. Do you need to be in Christ? If you do, come to Jesus as we stand and sing.